And coming up in just a few moments, we'll begin the discussion around the proposed bylaws. You've been listening to Wake Up Call. We will be doing this for the rest of the morning. And coming up at 9 o'clock, it will be Democracy Now. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And hopefully you will pay close attention and get some idea of just what's going on in terms of the bylaws. They're very important. They determine the relationship that the Pacifica has to the community. So it's important that you not only pay attention to it, but begin to become more involved in the activities of Pacifica so that you can provide direction. Okay, so I'm going to step aside. Janice K. Bryan will be here in 1 second. Stay tuned.
This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to have an explanation of each of the models that we're dealing with now, the KPFA model, the Unity Caucus model, which we call the constituency model, and the hybrid model. After that, we're going to, I think we'll devote about 15 minutes to each model. After that, we're going to go to D.C. and talk to Rob Ritchie, who's with the Center for Voting and Democracy. He's going to explain proportional representation, which is sort of the linchpin for a lot of this. And then we're going to take your calls until the show is over, till 9. So let's away with it. Let's go. Starting with you, Roger, and Miguel.
Miguel, do you want to take this time? Well, Miguel and myself are here speaking for what's called the KPFA model for elections, which is called that because our sister station out in Berkeley, Pacifica Station KPFA, has actually had elections of local station boards or local advisory boards for the last, couple of years. And so they went through all the pain of what we're doing now, discussing an elections procedure and developing that, and they came up with something that's been working for them for a couple of years. And a lot of the talk that you hear today is about that we're all concerned that the resulting local station board, which is going to have a lot of responsibility with running WBAI and the other five, each of the five stations will have a local station board. We're concerned that there's diversity on that board and that people in the community are well represented. But the issue really is not, whether or not we should ensure that there be diversity on the local governing boards. Everyone agrees with that, pretty much, that comes to these meetings that, where we discuss such things and that. The issue is which elections model that's being presented is going to do a good job. It's going to make it for a diverse board and result in a fair election and a qualified station board, a station board that, you know, made up of people who believe in the Pacifica mission and know what they're doing. And when one honestly considers what's best for Pacifica at this time, at this point in time, and when honestly, adequately, really studies all the stuff that's out there regarding the proposals, the elections proposals, the KPFA model, whether it's used as single transferable or choice voting, which is a form of proportional representation, really addresses the concerns of everybody actually sitting in this room. It addresses particularly the concern of community self-determination and assuring that there's seats for, you know, people that are underrepresented out there in our community. And it does that particularly with this thing called proportional representation, which we're going to talk about more later. So maybe I'll just move on.
Could you say, give a sort of brief synopsis of what has happened at KPFA, how it worked there, how this electoral mechanism worked for them?
Sure.
So that, because this, you all have been living this now, but
I know,
a lot of folks don't even know what you're talking about. So say what happened at KPFA.
What happened at KPFA a few years ago is that they decided on their own, the web didn't come from the Pacifica National Board, who basically writes bylaws and this kind of thing, to elect their local station board. And they came up with their own elections procedure by the use of committees and lots of meetings and this kind of thing. And they went through it. They did a lot of work and went through a lot of pain and came up with this KPFA model for elections, which, like I was saying before, you can see this at WBAI.net on the Internet, or Pacifica.org, I think, has it as well. And then they would have basically they would have a couple of months of where they would reach out and get candidates, and then about a month for the candidates to campaign. They would have radio programs on KPFA, and in this case, we'd have radio programs on WBAI, where the candidates all had equal time in the air, and they could talk about what they, you know, give their spiel, so to speak. So after about a month of that, then they'd have the actual election. And the way they did it is by mail. And if you were a subscriber, you had to be a member of the station. And to be a member of the station, they defined that as being a person who's had at least a $25 minimum subscription or had volunteered 3 hours a year at the radio station. And then you were mailed a ballot. And that ballot had a PIN number on it, a personal identification number. So there could no one could vote, you know, more than once because each ballot was unique and had its own number. And on that ballot was the list of all the candidates. And you would rank your candidates by preference to who you like the best. And you could, in a sense, vote for everybody that was running for the station board election. This is called choice voting, proportional representation. It's a form of proportional representation. So you got your ballot in the mail. You wrote down your first choice, by your first choice, but the number one, by your second choice, number two, and so on and so forth. And these ballots are mailed in, and there goes this whole mathematical system. Like I said, we'll come back to that. And then they came up with a very diverse station board because proportional representation allows for all kinds of... It promotes basically broad representation and self-determination by various segments of the community and constituencies. In fact, their board, as Carol Spooner, who is a member of the KPFA Local Advisory Board, points out, they have immigrants from Palestine, Puerto Rico, Uganda, and people of Latino, African, indigenous heritages, descent. They don't currently have anyone of Asian heritage on the lab. The only Asian candidate that they got for the last election withdrew due to a back injury where he would have been seated. And then they also have a labor organizer, some musicians, advocates for immigrants' rights, prisoners' rights, health care rights, a peace activist, a youth advocate, a gay activist, an artist, and at least one writer, and some other peace activists, and so on. And that was the result of... that's the resulting board that KPFA was able to get using the KPFA model and proportional representation.
Do you know how they handle the situation of incarcerated folks there? What did they do?
In terms of being able to vote?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, but the KPFA model as it stands now and as it's being proposed by the national board, the international board, by the way, has voted at their last bylaws composing meeting, basically in favor of using the KPFA model.
Composing meeting? That's interesting. Go ahead.
I like that word composing because that means you're bringing in elements from everywhere. It doesn't mean that you're actually sitting there writing things. And so the current language that they're proposing says the people, in order to vote in an election in the Pacifica, that you'd be pay a minimum, you'd either be a subscriber of minimum $25 a year, or volunteer 3 hours a year, and there's many, many ways to do that. There would be a waiver for people who couldn't do either one of those things, and that each of the local station boards would handle case-by-case waivers for people who couldn't meet the two other requirements. And so that's what's going to happen in the future, or that's what people are proposing that should happen in the future. It's what the National Board of Pacifica so far, or the Interim National Board, has supported that. I mean, that answers your question, I guess, right? I mean...
No, I was asking
how did KPFA
specifically... what did KPFA do?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they have been dealing with that issue yet in terms of the people in jail who are somehow are connected to the radio as the listeners, basically. But that's an issue that the Pacific National Board has been dealing with. And just let me address the issue. My name is Miguel Maldonado. Just let me address the issue of in terms of the KPFA model and compared to other models and how is in dealing with two or three components. One of them is how we can reach ethnicity through KPFA model or diversity, I would say, and how can we guarantee democracy, but democracy in a sense that we know the organization that we're dealing with, or the group of people, in this case, the members of Pacifica. The first one is, and the third one is to guarantee another element, which is 50% women, 50% men, which is, I think, is an issue that is really important as well as diversity in terms of when it comes to the participation of women. And the first one, internal democracy, which is, I think, I also should mention that that one of the things that KPFA model emphasized, which is to vote for issues instead of to identify with some person and to have some sympathy for the person because of the ethnicity of the person, which, you know, is something that I'm really concerned a lot, and I think that KPFA addressed the issue, issues, and at the same time that keep the means of reaching out diversity. And I think that's something that we should point out. And that when it comes talking about democracy and how can we guarantee that the people that is elected or coming from the community, somehow people who are involved in Pacifica, I mean as a listeners, as a members, or in the internet, etc. I think that we know that the person is entitled to have the vote and to vote for any candidate that the person wants. I would say myself that the fact that I'm supporting KPFA model doesn't mean that I'm identified with certain any group who should be there. And I base that in the dynamic of the city. For instance, it will be a disaster if there is no Latino in any board, including the national board or the local board, in any of those cities that the Pacifica has a radio station. Because in any of those cities, the Latino community held a big percentage of the population, and some places they are the second or sometimes the biggest percentage of the population. So, but I don't want to bring somebody and say, okay, you're going to run because you know you community decide to select you to run for this board. I don't think that that's the way to go. I think that based on the dynamic that is playing in every city with the Latino communities as well as the other communities who are involved in this struggle, and that is a demonstration what's going on in Pacifica, and the different groups are involved in the Pacifica struggle of the Pacifica that we had today. So to me, the guaranteed democracy is when somebody is entitled to vote for any person they want, which is guaranteed in the KPFA model, and you don't need to be in a box to say, okay, you're going to vote for this candidate or this candidate. No. And the other thing is it's a better opportunity for to reach out more diversity in the KPFA model based on how we organize the election and how people should organize to participate in those elections.
Okay, this is a perfect segue.
Can I just cap that? I mean, with Miguel saying that the KPFA model is concerned with diversity, which a lot of us are concerned with, but it's a more wide open, flexible system that does work. And the main thing is that we don't have a lot of time. We've been working on this for a year. We've got to get to the elections and to all the bylaws revision. We got to get Pacifica back more focused on what its real mission is to, you know, to do radio and promote
sure.
peace. And the KPFA model works. It's the best model that's out there right now. And it really addresses all of our interests best because it'll actually result in an election, which is mandated by that we have elections by the lawsuit settlement. And then we all agree that we want to have that kind of representation of the community.
So let me see if I'm getting this right. You're saying it does ensure diversity.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're saying it's been tested. So
tested.
We got to get our act together.
Yeah.
So we need to just use that.
It requires 50% people of color at the same time. I mean, I don't want to go into, you know, what some people, what categories they could be, one or two categories. But at the same time, it's the requirement. But I think more than the requirement is the willingness of us to work and guarantee that diversity that takes place. And could be more than 50%. Not necessarily have to be 50%. That's the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That is the requirement. But could be higher in terms of the, you know, based on how the people vote. And I, based on the Pacifica listeners, which is our progressive listeners, if I use that word, I think that it will guarantee that there's a big chance to be higher than 50%.
Okay. Now, Miguel brought up about different communities and representation from different communities. And that just leads us straight to the constituency model. Good morning, Christian. Good morning, Joe. And let's hear from you what the constituency model is.
Well, we can't possibly do it in the few minutes we have here. So I would just like to highlight with Christian a couple of the most salient points. First of all, I'd like to say that this discussion may sound very technical. It's tedious, it's boring, it's been a boring process, and I'm sure it's kind of boring for listeners too. because most listeners think that the struggle is over, we got back the station, what is there to fight about? We feel there's still some very important issues of principle that have to be resolved. What are the two basic political questions that we're faced with at this time? One, the question is whether the whatever model we choose will serve to advance the Pacifica mission. And the second point is, knowing that the government and other reactionary forces are going to try to destroy this network, which model will best serve to help us stave off those attacks? Now, in the course of our discussions around models, it has become apparent that we all use similar terminology, but we seem to mean different things by it. One of the terms is democracy. Another is diversity. Another is outreach. And it turns out that we have different conceptions of democracy. Excuse me. But to get back to the question of mission, we think that mission, the purpose of an organization, is what should determine the form and the structure of that organization. What is the mission of Pacifica? The mission of Pacifica, as enunciated originally by Lou Hill, who was the founder of this network, had to do with social justice and peace. And so, and promoting understanding between various ethnic groups. We have gone through, in the last 50 years, titanic struggles. We have the great movements of the 60s and 70s. Our notion of social justice, our understanding, our political consciousness has grown considerably since then. We must develop a model which embraces the fruits of those great struggles of the 60s and 70s. Now, one of the key elements of our model, and we not only call it constituency model, but it's a model of inclusion and a model of empowerment. By the way, we are not part of that so-called consensus that says that there has to be a $25 fee to earn the right to vote. We know that there are about 200,000 listeners in this listening area. Of the 200,000 listeners, only 10% are subscribers. And based on that experience that was discussed on the West Coast of elections, it turns out only 15 to 20% of the subscribers actually cast ballots. And so what it turns out is that there's only 1 to 2% of the entire listening public who get the opportunity to have a voice in station affairs. We don't believe this meets the criterion of democracy. But we go on to from there. So what we think is that the obligation is of the station to create the conditions for the widest possible exercise of the franchise, and not for to create tests of this or that kind and bars to that exercise of the franchise, because we believe this is people's radio, and we believe that the people should have a right to exercise to have a voice in station affairs. But more specifically, our model tends to be more complicated than the KPFA model. Their model is somewhat simple, and we are berated for having such a complex model. But the problem is that to achieve democracy in our society, in a society rife with inequalities and oppression, of powerlessness, which many constituencies and communities are plagued by, that to try to create a model which disregards these social realities and political realities does not advance the cause of democracy. It becomes purely formal democracy. And we know from the experience of our political elections, where half the people do not vote, that formal democracy is often violates the real democracy in substance. And so What we have done is we have laid out a number of groups that we say must have a seat at the table. Miguel raised an excellent point. Latinos constitute a huge percentage of the population of this city. They are oppressed, they are discriminated against, they are marginalized. The immigrants, who almost make up almost 40% of our population. Well, according to the KPFA model, they may or they may not get a seat at the table. Our model guarantees it, as well as guaranteeing the representation of peoples of African descent, Asian, immigrant, as well as communities that are marginalized, such as the physically disabled, gay and lesbian, youth, progressive artists, the prisoner population. All these people will be guaranteed a place at the table. But here is the big difference between our model and their model, because they speak about diversity. The Clinton cabinet and the Bush cabinet are models of diversity, but they are not, as far as we're concerned, models of true diversity, because the people who are choosing these diverse communities are not the communities themselves. Our model calls for the election of representatives of these communities from among the communities themselves, that they will be involved in the nomination process and the election process, so that you not only have a person who happens to have a black face or be of Latino heritage sitting on the board, but these people will actually represent the will and the interests and be accountable to that constituency. And, of course, we also include geographic constituencies, New York, the suburbs, Connecticut, New Jersey, and at-large districts, so that everybody is included. Everybody that is included in the KPFA model will be included in our model, but again, many, many more. And I'd like to turn it over now to my colleague, Christian Lemoyne, who will explain something further.
Yeah, good morning to everybody out there. To break it down in kind of like simple terms, I think the issue here is really a representation, fair representation for who. And we really have to look back and see, you know, what is the mission of Pacifica? And do we want to limit and circumscribe that mission to strictly the subscribers of the network or strictly the listeners of the network? Although, you know, that community of listeners and subscribers are the lifeblood of the station. But, you know, if you go back to Lou Hill, you know, our mission has been often described as the voice of the voiceless. You know, I've never heard it described as being the voice of the subscribers or the voice of the listeners. And it wouldn't make sense to refer to it in those terms. I mean, our mission is to embrace the struggles of oppressed communities and to take part in these struggles. And I mean, some people have even referred to the term inReach, because we ought to be part of the community of struggle, and we need to, as a network, to develop a process which involves and includes as many of these oppressed communities and constituencies in our listenership area as we can. And I think that's really the aim of what has been referred to as the unity model and the constituency model, is to, for one, not only guarantee that there is representation from the oppressed constituents. And we're not just referring to racial or ethnic or gender or, you know, categories that are just, you know, based on these descriptions. We're talking about the oppressed sectors within these communities, and from the very part of embracing and engaging in these struggles and enabling this station, this network, to be a voice for this continuing struggle. So therefore, we really emphasize that there ought not only to be a guarantee of representation from the various constituencies, but there also needs to be a process which facilitates and enables these communities to select their representatives. And I think it's a very clear concept when you try to break it down to people that, you know, hey, how should a representative be selected? I mean, you ought to have some kind of knowledge of that representative. You ought to be able to support his or her positions, and they ought to be reflective of the struggles of that particular constituency. And that's the very, very idea, the core idea behind the constituency model, is that for one, we insist that as a challenge, Pacifica must develop a system that goes beyond a simplified version of just, hey, let's do it the easy and the simple way. You know, just like those people who send in a little check, they get to vote because we have their names, we have their addresses, it's easy, it's a blah, 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 blah. No, I think that we need to go beyond that. It's a political challenge. It's a challenge to do the kind of outreach, inreach, and to involve the oppressed communities into the running of this network, which is also a way to enable the voice of the various struggles that we have as a mission to embrace and to support. I think that I just want to end with a little brief aside that, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be a national debate around these issues, and something is going to be resolved. And I think that when we put forward these principles and we come up with mechanisms that some may look upon as being pretty complicated, what we're insisting upon first and foremost are not the complex mechanisms, but the mission. The political ideals of representation and participation and involvement of oppressed communities. That's what we're insisting on. And I think that it's a pretty hard thing to discount to anybody who wants to really look at this for face value. And anybody who looks at, you know, the way elections are traditionally held in this society, it's fairly, fairly easy to see that, hey, most of it has been a sham. So our mission as a progressive network is not to come up with a simple model. Our mission is to come up with a model which actually enables and guarantees that kind of representation. Now, at the end of the day, when we settle on some kind of something that works, because I think we all want representation, and, you know, the ideas that I'm talking about and the ideas that our fellow comrades here have been, you know, espoused. And I think, you know, we're pretty much in unity around the mission here. So at the end of the day, we're going to agree on some forms of compromises, because there has to be some level of compromises achieved. Now, I just want to insist that what is really going to be determinant here is the struggle that takes place. And not having elections at the end of the day that are easy. The process of selecting representatives ought to be a process of intense struggle. And that is the only guarantee that we have that at the end of the day, our network can really be a tool for our communities, our oppressed constituencies, through that process of intense struggle. There ought to be open debates between candidates on issues, so that, as Miguel said before, it oughtn't to be that because someone is well-known or famous in a particular constituency that automatically they get a vote. The debates have to be centered on issues, and the station needs to take an active part in airing those debates, and it ought to be an involvement and an outreach effort into all these oppressed constituencies that we must serve to enable this process to happen. Now, if we go back to this coup and we look at how the struggle around the coup evolved, it's very easy to see that there was not as big a mobilization as we ought to have had, certainly right from the get-go. And, you know, part of the reason is there's a little rust in the system that we need to shake loose. You know, this process of reform of democratic reform within Pacifica and within the station here is a very, very important process. And we need to invigorate this by the outreach and inclusion. People out there who are listening to us ought to know that, hey, you have grief, you have issues, you have struggles around justice. This is your station. There is a process for you to become involved and voice your grievances, voice your struggles, because this is your station. And at the end of the day, that's what we aim to achieve here.
Okay, Christian, thank you. Now, I'm thinking about some of the things you said about complexity, and just in general, I think Americans don't like complex. And we just do tend, I know I tend to gravitate toward wanting something to be very simple and clear cut. And I think you're probably right. We're not going to get out of this, no matter what, with a simple solution. One thing that we are looking at, though, is trying to make compromise. And I think Donna Gould, my former cellmate, made a valiant effort in trying to bridge some of the gaps that are going on between the different groups. And Donna Gould and Brad Taylor are here today to explain what they want to do. We're calling theirs the hybrid model. Okay, Tom.
Yeah, people haven't heard of this because it was only first presented publicly at the recent IPNB meeting. And it's true, I developed it because, for two reasons. One, because people at the WBI activists who've been involved in this discussion have been very polarized between the KPFA model and the constituency model, and I felt sort of unnecessarily polarized, maybe, because I think there is a lot of agreement between people in these different camps. And the other reason was, as I listened to the two models, I was always persuaded by both of them, in certain aspects of both of them. So what I tried to do was to put together the parts of the two models that I agreed with and change the parts that I didn't agree with. So I wanted to say that, in just to explicate that a little bit, that what I agreed with in the Unity Caucus proposal, what I support, is that, first of all, that the goal of increasing involvement in WBAI of underrepresented, exploited, and marginalized communities, I agreed with that goal. Secondly, I agreed with the goal of setting aside seats on the local station board for these communities. And thirdly, I agreed with the goal of giving these groups the power to nominate to these constituencies. The parts that I didn't agree with and that I didn't support were that there be multiple elections, one for each constituency with different polling places, ballots, and so forth. Also that the voters needed to vote in person, that voters needed to register and vote according to their constituency, and that voters be able to vote only in two constituencies rather than being able to vote in all of the constituencies, because I felt that it's important for the judgment of all the listeners to be involved in choosing the members of the local station board. I mean, that comes out of a certain trust of the listeners in their perceptiveness and in their politics. The advantage I see in the KPFA model is that the election process itself is relatively simple, and Christian has just said that that isn't necessarily, shouldn't necessarily be a criterion, and perhaps that's true. It's also less expensive to carry out and easy to monitor. Also, because the proportional representation voting method is recommended, it can provide substantial diversity if the candidate pool is diverse, as Roger and Miguel have mentioned. And because it requires that the local station board shall include at least 50% people of color and at least 50% women, it offers further guarantee of diversity. But this 50% people of color requirement is a very coarse requirement. It doesn't distinguish between the various groups or communities that go to make up this very broad category. So, here is what I've put together from these two proposals. According to the hybrid model, there would be two classes of members, staff and listener sponsor members, both classes defined as they have been at the by the IPNB. And in the constituency model, there would be, as in the constituency model, excuse me, there would be 36 local station board seats. 15 would be allotted to the 13 mission constituencies that Joe alluded to, which are described in the proposal. And then, and there would be 12 seats set aside for the at-large category, and 9 would be allocated to the staff. Maybe this is too much detail. During the nomination period, people seeking constituency nomination could be nominated by 50 listener sponsor members who declare themselves, who self-identify as members of the same constituency as the nominee. There would be only one election. This is the way it differs from the constituency model. There would be one election. All listener sponsors, members, would vote at the same time. The ballot would everyone would get the same ballot. The ballot would contain 14 boxes, one for each of the mission constituencies and one for the at-large constituencies. I eliminated the geographic constituency, and I'm not going to go into that now, but if people want to ask me about it, I will. The nominees in each each constituency would be listed in the box for their constituency. Each listener may vote, although is not required to vote, in all of the constituencies. Once the votes are tallied, the same process as used in the KPFA model would be used to ensure at least 50% people of color and at least 50% women are seated. And that is basically it.
Okay, go ahead, Brad.
I really just want to commend Donna's intelligent and constructive initiative towards conciliation of these varying viewpoints, because there has been some pretty strong disagreement, and toward a unified and thereby more effective Pacifica community. I also want to restate my position as a member of the Unity Caucus and my solidarity with the constituency model. And my solidarity with the WBAI lab, who has resoundingly approved of the constituency model. And I also just want to express my appreciation for Roger and Miguel and Christian and Joe and everybody who's so clearly and thoroughly explained these ideas this morning.
Okay, it seems to me, well, it is, at the basis of a lot of this, we have to have an understanding of proportional representation. And no matter which one we choose, we are not going to end up with the winner-take-all electoral mechanism. One thing I did want to ask, though, that you mentioned, Donna, you said that one election under the hybrid model is different than as it is with the constituency model. Can somebody briefly explain that to me? How does that affect with the constituency model?
Well, when she says one election, maybe she needs to. I would like a little clarification as to how you distinguish one election as opposed to.
Right. What does that mean?
Well, my understanding of the constituency model was that the members of the constituencies,
the representatives,
who would have identified themselves as members they could be members of two constituencies, they would go someplace to vote. And they would be given a ballot that was particular to their constituency, and they would have to vote in person.
So it sounds like you're not saying there's more than one election. You're saying there's more than one polling place. Like we go and vote in different areas. Now, is that what you're saying?
No, it's really...
They have a different
category. 14 or 18 categories.
There's separate elections. Each constituency elects their... to the seat that they have reserved on the board.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have the gays and lesbian representatives. You're going to have the disabled. You're going to have the Latinos. You're going to have the Arabs, and you're going to have...
You're going to have who?
They had to choose that person who's going to represent that constituency. One, there's one election.
So it's
and
like
then,
a local
and then
thing.
You go into the...
Each community does its own.
And then you go into right. the station board election.
The
elections.
The electorate is different. The means of the polling places are different, but also the electorate is different because as Roger and Miguel were saying, under the constituency model, the electorate is specific to the constituency. In my model, the electorate is everybody who's a member.
In Donna's model, the nominations process remains specific to the various constituency group, but votership is generalized. Everybody can vote for any constituency they want, but only people within those constituencies are nominated. In our constituency model, we feel that it's important to that we. One of the main fundamentals of our set of ideas is self-representation self-determination, and we feel that it's important that that specific communities move together to elect their own representatives that independent of the generalized community.
I just might point out that there's also staff representation. Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
The staff, you could call that a separate election. And incidentally,
right.
only the staff can vote for their
right.
own representation.
Right.
So that's sort of like a constituency.
So that's true in the KPFA model as well, actually.
Yes, that's
okay.
right. And,
okay.
But somehow we don't raise an objection and say, well, why can't we all vote for the staff representative? So
that's
some
a good
reason,
point.
So that's
a clear.
Let me just point out and tell them the unity here, because I think that this is a very important issue, unity. And it seems to me that in the KPFA model, the way that we're trying to achieve unity is by bringing to guarantee that different groups are 50% of the people of color, and secondly, but at the same time, you are entitled to represent people. It doesn't matter what color that person is, what any group that is. I don't mind to be represented by anybody who could be an Arab or could be from Africa or could be from Asia, as long as that person identifies with me internal issues. And I think that that's the way that we're trying to achieve unity, which is instead of when you go in deeper into the ethnicity, I think that creates some kind of problem when it comes to unity, because I know that some of those groups identify and by different issues that are affecting them, but at the same time, people had a tendency to work out intent of the race more than identify the issue when that person is not very political educated and understanding through the struggle how the unity is achieved.
Miguel, you're hitting on now something that we really, that's at the crux of the ideological struggle that we're dealing with. And we're going to deal with that. But I want to do the nuts and bolts things right now about proportional representation.
Janice, could I say something about that? I was thinking after the lab meeting the other night where the lab reaffirmed their commitment to the constituency model and listening to every lab member express their reasons, what I think I understood that I wasn't so clear to me before is that even though it would be possible to use the same kind of in-reach and nomination process and all that's described in the constituency model and use the KPFA voting procedures, I think the difference is that it's important, I think, if I understand the people who were expressing their views, it's very important that it be out front that we are committed to seats at the table for these constituencies. And that is not so clear. It isn't clear in the KPFA model. It just isn't. It isn't part of the what's put out there. But what's put out there in the constituency model.
This is the goal. This is what we're
right.
about.
And
period.
That's true to some extent in the hybrid
model.
The
question is how many constituencies can you have in a board that has 24 people?
Okay.
Can I give you a little, Janice, may I give you a little nuts and bolts just very briefly?
I know you have the nuts and bolts, but I would really like to hear from Rob Ritchie from the Center for Voting and Democracy. Wait a minute. Okay. Can you be a little patient with me? I haven't engineered in about a year and a half. So if you could just, please, you all, I'm misspeaking and and all kinds of stuff and trying to find the telephone. Okay, are you there, Rob?
I sure am.
Okay, can you hold on just a moment? Just as the old folks say in the South, stick a pin. We'll be right back to you after Roger makes his statement, okay?
That sounds great.
Thanks. Okay, go ahead, Roger. Sorry.
Just really briefly, all of the KPFA model isn't too simple, and it's not that simple, and it does actually cover
all the concerns. I agree. I think it is complex, too.
That it does cover all the concerns, especially that Christian was expressing earlier, but we can come back to that. But the real nut and bolt thing is that it's pretty much been determined by the Pacifica International Board that there will be one uniform elections policy for all five stations across the network, and that the five local advisory boards will, two-thirds of the local advisory boards, in other words, three out of five, need to approve of the elections process, and two-thirds of the national board need to approve those bylaws. And so far, four out of five of the local advisory boards around the country had meetings this week and all rejected the constituency model and the hybrid model.
Say that again.
Four out of five local advisory boards at Pacifica, at the five stations, met this week, and four out of five rejected any form of the constituency model as a whole. Maybe not some of the elements.
I was going to say this is certainly news to me.
I have,
and I don't. Let's try to stay focused on what we're doing here right now, because. Now, Miguel, you said that's true,
that's
and you're but I
it
haven't heard.
It is true.
This.
I've been talking to some of different chairpersons
in the area. It's
all
over.
And we got the result.
We can come back to that later.
Please. Okay.
I just thought it was important.
No, it is.
Yeah,
it's like I said,
important.
It was news to me. Okay. Are you there, Rob?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Proportional representation. I've learned a lot about it that I didn't know, and let's assume that probably 90% of the audience doesn't even know what we're talking about when we use the term. And from what I gather, it has been used in the United States, but only in a couple of states, correct?
That's correct. And maybe I just would briefly describe the principle of proportional representation before getting into the mechanism being discussed with, I guess, the KPFA model. Which is that, and that principle is embodied in most established democracies' elections, pretty much all countries in Europe, South Africa, various countries around the world use some form of proportional representation, with the principle being that voters who are like-minded, and for whatever brings them to a like mind or however defines them as sort of joining with other people, as they vote in a cohesive fashion, they win seats in proportion to their share of the vote, which is in contrast to one person representing everybody, or a group of, like, the 51% representing a 100% of people model of winner-take-all elections. So that, for instance, in South Africa, which has probably the most pure or simple kind of proportional representation, they have a national party list vote where parties put forward candidates, and you can vote for any party you want, and if a party wins at least 1/400th of the vote, it's going to win at least 1 out of 400 seats. And if it wins 50% of the vote, it wins 200 out of 400 seats, and so on. So it's sort of this direct proportional representation. More than 99% of voters end up voting for a party that wins a seat. And they have this wide range of choice, and parties put forward lists of candidates that